I'm Sulaiman Mazanse. I'm representing the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much. As I have explained in the strategic presentation, that we couldn't make for a better plan that we requested my absence from time. But more importantly, also the competing strikes that got there. June, July, we had a vote of the government. She has to be here. That is the fact that I can't do a place that we should have been having this in the past of August. That meeting was initially being granted, but they have been because the plan was to have the meeting in an oversight program that we have taken for the election. So this step as our first meeting, and it's like a month once again, welcome all of you and commit myself to work with yourself. Of course, there are already some things that require to be looked into, amongst others, some procedures that to be looked into. Maybe that's the case of committee to consider that out of the meeting has been doing a lot of activities, including trying to get clarity as to how to use the backlog of fourth parliament. Today, then, I must say, we have not yet even arrived at a convincing decision together of ourselves and the Secretariat of Parliament. How do we best deal with that particular backlog? You will know that when these petitions arrive in Parliament, the chairperson of the NCOP would then refer them to the chairperson of the committee, in this regard, our committee, for processing and then report back to the Parliament. The third plus minus 60 has been sitting in the fourth Parliament without being finalized, and that you know has an impact on us as well. So we are trying to get it to how best do we solve that particular area, and I'm sure we will be able to arrive at a solution that will further balance all of us. However, in the process we have said, we will continue to work on some of those that are going to be workable. There are those that will find a mountain to climb in order to arrive at the solution, which in some instances, the very same petition, one way or another, have also some litigation in between. And then when you are dealing with them, you are risking also to become part of the fight and part of the litigation. But we have to finally arrive at that. How do we finally deal with these issues as a parliament? Of course, there have been concerns among other members that we haven't run the committee as it was supposed to be run, except for reasons that I've already mentioned, due to my leave, due to policy processes. There are still some dissatisfaction among the ranks of ourselves that others are saying, even this meeting is sitting because they are not satisfied. This meeting was properly taken. The normal meeting is not even a special meeting. The normal meeting of the committee shared with them and talked to them and even presented in the there will be this meeting. It should not be under the that some body made this meeting. But all in all, here we are today. We just to run the proceedings of this committee. Shall we then move into amongst other documents that is prepared is the proposed program for the third test.
Chairperson, my apologies. Are we not first going to approve the minutes, or are you still here to do that?
You mean the minutes of the 1st of July?
Of the 1st of July. I just have one small point there. I'm not complaining. It's just that one correction that I want. Other than that, I'm fine with this, but I just want that to be corrected.
I'm sure you can that you can actually get that.
Thank you.
Have you checked on the register?
Yes, I am on the free, as a free state delegate on the register.
But on the minutes,
on the minutes, I just want to show you my answer.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Of the minutes of the test, is there anything except in the correction that you know? Any movement for the adoption of the minutes of the 1st of July, Honorable Julia? Is there anything, I don't think, is there any message on the procedural minutes? Thank you very much. On the issues of program, there is a proposed first-term program starting from the 14th to the 20th, 14th of October to the 28th. It looks like this is
program agenda.
We all don't have. We can share this while they're trying to work on the product of the adoption to that. Can we, for time being, then move to the overview of the petition before the committee?
Just a question. If we're going to talk that for a while, when are we going to adopt the program?
I'm thinking that working on it.
I'm going to speak to give you an overview of the petition that I put for the committee, as well as take you through the organization case that I prepared for the committee. This was a case particularly for the new members in mind. It's just a paper that will bring you up to speed with how the committee has been working, or how it is working in the fourth parliament, and also bring you up to speed with respect to the legacy position, which our plus or minus to see as one of the
Thank you.
of questions, I will leave to the honourable members to read through that. But I'm going to take you through the rules. I've also made available a copy of the rules. It should look like this. The 9th edition, March 2008 of the NCC rules. So I am on page 3 of the paper. What is the role of the committee? Members will know that in terms of section 59 of the Constitution, one of the functions that the Constitution gives to the National Council of Provinces is to receive petitions, representations, or submissions. And before we even go to section 59, we should remember that section 17 of the Constitution provides for the right to petition. It is housed together with the right to assemble and the right to pick. And then we move to section 59B, and the rules of the NCOP try and get to section 59B in terms of the receipt of petitions by the NCOP. I'll quickly take you through the rules. Rule 5 talks about public participation, and that's where the role of petitions as a conduit of public participation comes into play in terms of Rule 5 of the NCOP rules. Rule 86 constitutes the committees. It indicates that that's one of this committee is one of the committees of the NCOP. Rule 103 of the NCOP rules talks about the general powers of committees, which includes the right to receive petitions, representations, or submissions from interested persons or institutions. Parliament does this in a number of ways and through a number of forums to the people. I know submissions are received from members of the public as well as through this committee. Rule 147 establishes the committee. It talks about the functions and powers of the committee, which include considering and making recommendations to the NCOP regarding all petitions referred to it. Rule 229 and 236 set out the formal requirements with respect to the submission of petitions. And if you look at the rules, you find that they're very scanty, and that's why we are proposing to a national petition act. But before then, we're proposing to have guidelines which are a bit more fleshed out in terms of the formal as well as the substantive requirements. Because if you currently, the rules speak more towards the formal requirements of petitions. So the role of the committee is to consider all petitions referred to it. And that sounds very wide because it says all. It's not saying some, it says all of the petitions referred to the committee. And this role is strengthened by some extensive powers and responsibilities. The power to declare the subject matter of a petition, especially to an executive or a particular department or other administrative agency for further attention. To recommend to the NCOP any course of action as deemed fit and proper to keep the petitioner informed of the decision or any other course of action with regard to the petition and the reasons thereof. So, in sum, the role of this committee is to constructively deal with petitions and enhance Parliament's role in the petitioning process. The legislation that guides this committee, as indicated in the Constitution, Section 17, as well as the rules of the NCOP as highlighted. The question becomes, how are petitions submitted to Parliament? Petitions are usually submitted to the chairperson of the NCOP, and then he refers the petition to, they're actually received by the office of the secretary of the NCOP, which is Adelaide Pindela's office, but they're addressed to the chairperson of the NCOP. And Adelaide Pindela's office ensures that the petition that is submitted meets the formal requirements as indicated in 229 and up to 236 of the NCOP rules. And then after that, it is then referred to the committee for consideration. I meant of this name? And the rule of parliament, specifically the NE rules, distinguish between special and general petitions. So as you may well know, in the fourth parliament, we have two committees. We have the select committee on petitions and private members' legislative proposals. We have the portfolio committee on private members' legislative proposals and special petitions. Now, the difference between the two is that the difference lies in the relief force. So, for example, a general physician would seek more general relief, and would usually a relief that can be enjoyed, if you want to put it that way, or where a group of persons can benefit from that relief. Where the support physician usually refers to relief that will be applicable to a specific individual, like the granting of a pain, for example. I've made that distinction in the paper as well. And then as indicated, rule 229 to 236 of the rule of the NCOP set out the requirements of petition. They must be in the form prescribed by the chairperson of the NCOP. They must be in one of the official languages. They must be it must be signed by a petitioner. It must be disclosed to the secretary of the NCOP for at least one day. And the secretary must in turn submit a petition to the chairperson of the NCOP for approval. It must be tabled by the chairperson of the NCOP after approval and then referred to the committee. So we get it after it's been tabled by this. That's why you see them appearing in the ATC. Members know what an ATC is, right? And then what are the rules that the chairperson of the NCOP provides? The entry of a chairperson for the petition must state the name and the contact details of the petitioner, indicate the intended recipient, state the length of the request being made, and motivate and must have a motivation, and also indicate the nature of the relief book, and must not contain improper or disrespectful language. So, just touching on how the committee would consider a petition in the previous parliament. So, we would get the petition, which would be accompanied by supporting documents. And then my role as a researcher would be to reduce that into a three-page document. Because in most cases, we find that the supporting documentation is 14 or 15 pages, and members can't be expected to go through that. So I'd reduce it to three pages, setting out the content of the petition, the relief source, and why the relief is sought. And now I've started even making recommendations to the committee around how best to approach the petition. I had attached an annexure to my paper which lists the plus or minus 60 petitions that were referred to the committee in the fourth parliament. And as of 11th November 2013, plus or minus 60 petitions have been referred to the committee, and 40% of those petitions pertain to service delivery issues. And then the rest were either divided between pension funds or pension fund issues or issues relating to misconduct. even had petitions relating to unlawful arrest, violation of human rights. So we have a range of petitions. We had a range of petitions before in the fourth parliament. During the fourth parliament, I think the major challenge that the committee faced was the fact that we shared concurrent membership with Security and Culture, and as a result, we had a problem scheduling meetings and actually even having those meetings take place, because you find that the other committees, meetings would take precedent over ours. And then another challenge faced by the committee is that four of its committee members were also chairpersons of other committees. Thankfully, that is not the case anymore. So it should be a lot easier to schedule meetings and have members present. Another problem was that sometimes when we did get around to scheduling meetings, the meetings wouldn't constitute a quorum. So it was very difficult. In fact, sometimes the chairperson wouldn't be able to make it. So it was very difficult to have a meeting. I think the major achievement for the committee was that it had managed to, I don't want to say resolve the petition, because the petition still needs, it's a Mopokenge Mopena petition. It is number three on the list of on the table of petitions. Because the committee has yet to table a report in the NCOP regarding that petition. So I think that it had managed to wrap up the better part of the petition, let me put it that way. So I think that was a major achievement of the committee, and it was able to go on study tours to Germany and Uganda and exchange best practices with parliaments there around of different, I mean, committees of this nature. And then I made a list of recommendations regarding, I think, these recommendations will take the committee forward in the fifth parliament. And I think something that I think that sort of like took a backseat to that public participation, I think this committee, because I'm basing this from what I've seen in the legislature, they see this committee as a form of public participation. So they use this committee to promote public participation. And so I think this committee also has to use its role to promote a public participation, not only through the use of petitions, but there are other modes of public participation, like attending committee meetings and, you know, making submissions and representations at public forums. So it's about promoting public participation on the whole. And then another recommendation is obviously the formulation of guidelines. And also I think another thing that we didn't, the previous committee probably should have looked into is to having a lot more visits, because sometimes you need to go and verify the facts and to sort of like to reach out to communities that are experiencing whatever grievance it is that they've embodied in that petition. So sometimes we even get petitions where they say, please come and see how we are living. Because once you've been there, you will understand the plight of those communities, you know, and the extent of the problems that they are facing. So another thing I think the committee should focus on is working collaboratively with government departments. We went for assessment to Mpumalanga, and one thing that stood out to me was the fact that they have built such a good rapport with other government departments, so much so that when they have petition clinics, and this is something we should also focus on, petition clinics and roadshows, when they have those, they get MECs to come along or relevant government departments to come along, and actually sometimes you find that petitions don't have to escalate to having been resolved by this committee. They are resolved right there. Whatever grievance is contained in that committee is resolved right there and there. Because some of them don't really have to be, you know, they don't need them. They don't necessitate the holding of a meeting and, you know, much deliberation on the issue. So that is, I think I've pulled out the most pertinent recommendations. That's just about it. And then I've also included acronyms that, you know, that members should be aware of, like what a petition, petitioner, consideration of a petition, processing of a petition, and review of a petition. Do members have questions at this stage before I move on to the next?
There you go, the honourable member to receive their presentation. Any question for Larry?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I first want to thank the activists for the hard work with this. It's fantastic to have all of this in such a clear way. That we can get going. One of the things that she did say was that last year, or in the previous term, one of the problems was that the chairpersons or that the members were chairpersons of different committees as well. I just want to make one remark. I don't think our meetings should only be scheduled, and I'm sure you will agree with me, chairperson, that our meetings should be decided on whether they continue or not, based on your own availability. I think we need to clearly set out, if we adopt any program, of how frequently we're going to have meetings. Even if the chairperson is not available, there are enough members, and you would be glad to know that there are enough members of your own party to replace you with an ANC chairperson if you so want to. But that we don't schedule our meetings around your own availability, because it sometimes can become difficult. That's the one remark I want to make. We can continue having frequent meetings as we're supposed to, whether the chairperson is available or not. The other thing that I want to know, it's just a question to the researchers, is, or to the content advisors rather, the Mokoena petition. I see the 2010 petition. on that same list of yours, you have the Castleburn and the Wolvenkopf farm petitions that are older. It came in 2009. Why was that specific petition fast-tracked? I don't completely understand. I think, well, perhaps my guess would be that there are people in jail and that they might have to sit for another year or two, and that's not justice. But is there a specific reason why, while we were still waiting for all the petitions to be handled, one specific petition was fast-tracked? If I can just get the answer to that question, please.
I do know that that particular petition was being handled at the joint, you know, level of all national assemblies in DOP. There was, you know, because the MA was having a regular slot on dealing with the petitions and whatever the decision. It was out of that joint that it was then lifted out because it was. Issue relating to the National Council of Provinces not meeting regularly. Amongst other reasons, they relied on Friday. And then the Friday, yes, it's a working day, but more often members of parliament are members of the society. You are attending funerals, you are leaders in our own life, and all those kinds of things. So it wasn't a good arrangement for NCOP. The reason why NA was doing well was because they then arrived at the determination to say, we are moving from Friday to Wednesday, early in the hours of Wednesday. Every week they were sitting in that class. So we need to have a distinction, of the two. But on the other level, where there was no relation, it was easy to flow because the other had a program of every week. But when there is only NCOP, the challenge of non-correlating, non-functionality of the committee was following the other program. And I think this is a clear indication of NCOP was bogged down by that.
Sorry to come in again, Chairperson. My question would then just be, if I understand correctly, you come from the National Assembly Committee as well. And they ran more effectively because of that. So my hope would be, and I would like your confirmation if that is so, if you're going to apply the same year to make us a bit more effective.
Oh, yes. Well, that's how we are putting more time. I'm sure you would recall that in the presentation, we said the meeting will take place between half 8 and 10 o'clock. This lot, we were requested by the leadership of the SCOP to say, can you go to that? We were supposed to meet in the international lot. You can talk to me.
Given me permission to say one word or so. With regard to the Wolvenkopf farm, the committee indeed in 2009 before we went to Mpumalanga Sports Farm for the local inspection, there was a meeting in Pretoria in which the department really delivered from that. I think the basic question and the challenge that we have here is that the committee was not able to report that to the petitioner, which is the necessity that after having held meeting with them, give them necessary information as to where they are. But right now, the department might be taking it as an issue. That's the position that we have handled. It's not like they were requiring from the government. It was not about it.
I'm sure procedures on petition. It will be upon receiving petition. We will table into the committee and then the committee will then program as per the recommendation that is put forward. This will be the better end of that this particular day. Then that will be the procedure to be followed. But immediately after the Parliament receives this petition, Parliament has to find some investigation, some, you know, making sure that we don't deal with, you know, things that we are not supposed to. We will always rely on the support, you know, staff, the researchers. I'm sure very soon we'll be having a quantum advisor. As of now, we don't have, but the post is in process of getting, you know, the quantum advisor. But the issues that we'll be dealing with, by and large, are related to legal. There are a lot of legalities in the procedure. It's a committee that would always, even when we, they appoint a content advisor, that content advisor should have a biasness towards understanding the legal procedure of, you know, South Africa. Not necessarily of the committee, the South African legal, you know, procedure. Is there anything on this one, or can we move forward? Thank you very much.
The second document I want to take you to that I prepared is a synopsis of the South African petition sector. This was just to give members an idea of what the legislators have done and how we are faring in comparison to the legislators, and to also point out the discrepancies with regard to the processing of petitions in the various legislatures. So the first part of the document just talks about the importance of public participation. Then I talk about the legislation and the rules governing petitions. So in some legislatures you have rules, in some you have standing rules that set out how petitions are processed, and then in some legislatures you have petitions act. Out of the 10 legislatures, including Parliament, there are only 3 that don't have a petitions act, and that is the Eastern Cape, and Parliament of course, and the Northwest. But the Eastern Cape and the Northwest have standing rules which are substantial enough to regulate the processing of petitions. So they may not have an act, but they have rules that are actually fleshed out, a lot more fleshed out than our rules. Remember, I took you through our rules. Our rules is only 2292, 2232, and that, as far as I'm concerned, is too scant. We need more meat, and that's why I'm proposing that we have guidelines around the processing of petitions. So the guidelines will speak to what is a petition, what is the purpose of the petition, what is not a petition. In that way as well, we'll be able to alert the chamber of council to say, look, we have a rule, please make sure that you advise. Because they write to the petitioner and say, your petition has been received, and we've referred it to the relevant committee. So in the same way, they should be able to write to say, look, our petition has been assessed in terms of our guidelines, and we feel that it doesn't constitute a petition within those guidelines. But it mustn't end there. They must be able to say, okay, we feel that maybe the public or the South African Human Rights Commission, because some of the, as I mentioned, some of the petitions concern human rights violations, and some of these petitioners haven't even gone to the South African Human Rights Commission. So we want to be able to also promote the use of Chapter 9 institutions and even the police or any other relevant government departments or bodies in resolving some of the issues that are raised in the decision. So getting back, so I set up what the National Parliament does in terms of petitions, and then Gauteng has an act, and you know it provides that petitions may be submitted in all of the official languages. Honourable members, I won't take you through each and every province, but I hope you get an idea of what I was trying to do in this, to give you a picture of where the various legislators are in terms of processing of petitions. But what I do want to point out is this discrepancy. As indicated, some of, not all of the acts talk about the scope and the purpose of a petition. Even the form of petition differs. Some of the legislators say that you may submit written and oral petition, and not all of them provide for oral petition. And then even the use of the language. In the Northern Cape, for example, you are allowed to submit petitions in the San language. So it differs from province to province in terms of language. So those are where the discrepancies lie, even in terms of the submission of petitions. Some are submitted through the Speaker's office. Some are submitted straight to the petition office, if there is a petition office within that legislature. And the time frames are different around the processing of petitions. Some acts require that a petition database be checked. Some don't require that a petition database be checked. Some of the acts have principles around principles regulating the processing of petitions. And then there's also differences around the roles and responsibilities of the various role players in the processing of petitions. I'll go to the next document now, which is on executive undertakings. That is the last one. This document I prepared to bring members up to speed with the new mandate of the Commission on Executive Undertakings. So in this document, you will find that I discussed what, because I think I must also clarify that what brought about this particular, change in the mandate of the committee was that Parliament has an oversight model. And one of the key issues that emanated from that oversight model was that we need to develop mechanisms around holding the executive accountable for any undertakings that they give in the House. And then they suggested that we have, in India, for example, it's known as the Committee on Government Assurances. So if any assurances, any promises, any pledges that are given in the House, and I've also indicated that, I've given an example in India, for example, so how they pick up those assurances is from the use of standard expressions like the matter is unclear, the matter is under consideration, I shall look into it, I shall consider it. Information is being collected and will be laid on the table of the House. So that's what happens in India. And the staff that actually sets these resolutions and refers them to the committee. And by the way, this has already started happening. The chairperson of the NCOP has referred, I think this was number four, executive undertakings to us already, which he figures are executive undertakings. But what we also need, and Honorable Chabazana and I have written to the Rules Committee asking for enabling rules. Because it's one thing to create this mandate and say you are now called Committee on Petitions and Executive Undertakings. But if we don't have the rules that enable us to actually then, define parameters, then it becomes very difficult for us. But obviously, I'm hoping that the study tour that we're proposing in November to India will help us, because the genesis of this committee is the Indian Parliament. This is where, that is the Parliament that is responsible for coming up with this idea of a committee of this nature. And other countries like Pakistan have followed suit. On the African continent is Zambia and Ghana, and I've also included a little piece on Zambia here as well. and then I'll set out recommendations as well for the, and obviously one of the recommendations is that we have rules or parliamentary rules around overseeing and managing executive undertakings. And we develop an effective system of tracking these undertakings and monitoring them. And I also propose a workshop for the members around that. And then I also propose a study tour to India. That is the last paper. And then as an example, I've given you two petitions that these are very new petitions that we recently received. One is we call the fraternity petition, because that petition seeks to introduce the requirement of paternity leave for fathers. In terms of the basic conditions of employment as currently now, fathers don't have paternity leave. What they have is family responsibility for 3 days. So the petitioner in this matter is proposing that we introduce paternity leave for fathers, and he's proposing that fathers be entitled to take 10 days paternity leave. And then the other one is the Bagama Solidarity petition. This one was brought to my attention by Koshi Sobajani.
We have the some of them.
So the Bukama Civilist petition is about the eviction of some 800 families in Bukama Civilist, which is in Manija, Pukong local municipality. But I won't bog down members with the details around that. But it's just to give an idea of how I would prepare the content around the petition for your consideration. As mentioned, we get 15 to 20 pages of supporters, and not everything in there is important. And, my job is then to provide a summation of all of that and break it down to you so you know the relief that is being sought. You know what the pertinent facts are, and you know why the relief is being sought, and then suggest recommendations around how the committee would go about considering that. And then, last but not least, it's the stress time, but I'm sure Tenda will give me the go-ahead for that will consider the stress time.
I just wanted to add a few things with based on what my colleague said. As we all know, the purpose of the petition is to draw the attention on issues of public interest and to request that the authorities take action on all this. Now, generically speaking, one will require to correct the recommend to the committee that they need to be a and the second thing that we have always been saying, particularly after the committee has visited Uganda and Germany, following the 2010 also the UK, there was an undertaking that at least there should be an establishment of a specific list, which is called Committee on Petition Committee, which will cater for the legal services, the content and lateral services, the secretariat, logistics, and also the field staff, so that we can empower the services of the committee. The other reason why we indicated that there is also a question of the witness expenses. There is a view that we should not have a committee to investigate the petitioner. But the basic thing is that from a procedural point of view, committees are allowed to visit and to go wherever they can based on the budget that we have. Because as she said, especially in local, it's also very important and we need to do that because the rules are also allowing that. It was also alluded to by the House Secretary during the Chairperson meeting yesterday that it is feasible and doable. I also wanted to check whether it is not feasible for members to be allowed to say, from our side, we are going to listen to what members are saying, and that when it comes to implementing the reporting side, for instance, if we are saying the petition on organ scraps, if we want to end that one on Tumalanga, we can, based on the recommendations by the commission, say, from now we're going to just follow up and write letters through the secretary and say that one is over and done, because for the past 4 years there hasn't been any action, so that we don't have this 50 so-called number that people are worried about. And also, The issue of transparency and confidentiality is really important to the problem. Whether or not this policy should be regularly meeting in open or not is a second point. But some petitioners, when they come to us to address us individually before they really get their things going, they sometimes cry. And it would be very awkward for them to come and present to the committee while the media is there. Maybe the committee should also decide on that as to whether that is possible. In the interest of transparency, of course, that can be something on the that was one or two things I wanted to also suggest to the committee, if possible. Whether during, at least maybe once in a quarter, before the House starts its business of the day, to say, are there members, are there any petitions before the House? So that, like they do in other provinces, it becomes an alert to members and also to the country at large. They will get to know that there are petitions that are scheduled before the House, especially if the petition committee has finalized the issue. It can be very important for us to say we have resolved that one, gone, and those and the minutes are going to set aside. And also the update of those you just mentioned, and lastly the issue of the petition, which is really a very big and global universal thing that is very interesting the show. Maybe the committee should also say they from international day standards. Can we not go the deep position or also check what the deep position is doing? Those are just some of the additional issues that I wanted to state. Okay.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure the core of where we are, the reason why we are taking all these different things in terms of the legislation, petition, it is precisely that as national parliament, one want to say in the place to do what we are supposed to do, because all the legislation under a normal system was supposed to draw that from the National Act, as we are talking now, we are both, you know, what we are doing is we are learning from them, trying to, you know, bring it at a national sphere, which is some kind of standard to the parliament. You know, in the past, maybe they have failed to do what is, you know, it's fundamental that we talk as in the petition. But again, if you look at the rule 147 of the NCOP rule, I'm sure it is on the it doesn't talk to us. It still talk about the things that were determined in 2008. We are in 2014 today. So we are still talking about things that guided parliament at that time. We have been established as a petition and executive undertaking. Under normal circumstances, a committee of this nature has to be, you know, made in the rules committee. The rules that are used by the NGO. As we are talking now, we are parachuting at least the fact that there was a committee having, you know, some one line look like us, the way it's efficient. We are now saying let's parachute on it and say is that the rules that are governing ourselves. It's not. We need to come up, you know, making sure that the rules committee of parliament produce this kind of, you know, the rules that will govern and elaborate and give us to go our way. Particularly that we are talking two critical things. One is about public participation through the petition, and the other one is about oversight over, you know, executive undertaking. The two are fundamental for the democracy to, you know, flourish. So we need to make sure that we put the necessary advice, not threat, the necessary advice to the authority to come up with, you know, this kind of enabling rules that will make us work very easy. But therefore, it means after all has been said, it has become important that one of the objectives of this committee should be to say, but by the end of our term, we should be saying we have produced a petition act for the, you know, Republic of South Africa. It cannot be the same moving forward, keep on saying we have failed, we are, no, we cannot. Okay? Honorable Mr.
Chairperson, thank you. I completely agree with you. Petitions specifically shows where there is dissatisfaction within the country, where people have grievances, strong grievances, with certain human rights issues, etc. If we can run this committee effectively, I promise you it will show us before violent protests happen, it will show us where those protests are going to be happening, and we can act upon them before. That's the one thing I want to say. The other thing I also want to say is we shouldn't sit and wait for a set of rules and an act to come and in the meantime do nothing. Those guidelines and those and an act is urgently needed, I agree. We have to have it. But in the meantime, while we're working on that, we should also start being proactive on the legacy that we inherited from the previous party. On that note, I would like to ask you, you can stop me here if I'm jumping the gun, if I have to ask this question when we get into the program.
I think I would advise that way for when we come to that program.
Okay, then I'll keep that question for now.
Any other input, questions?
Can we move that?
Since it was taken to court and they decided to do away with it, it's no longer there. The only decision option that the public of South Africa will benefit is only NGO. Therefore, we are becoming, you know, the only hope of everybody.
Thank you, Chair. We know that provinces also do relatively only petition committees. What should our role be and how do we fit in? Do we only deal with petition coming to us and leave the others to them to solve? I'm a bit confused with the three spheres of government. What petitions are we dealing with? Do we have deciding role or something that we play over other petitions in the three spheres of government, do they have over us, or what's the type of oversight role that we're playing in terms of other petitions in other spheres of government? The reason why I'm asking this is that during our NPOP provincial meeting, Gauteng, one municipality received petitions by the Ever Political Committee that will look at petitions before it gets to the before it gets tabled. And they specifically said that this petition, we know that it's coming from a certain political party and we don't deal with those petitions. So I think there would be at the stage that we look at how we deal with petitions and how provinces and local municipalities are dealing with petitions, getting together, not telling them how to, but I just need to find out where do we put things.
The current arrangement is we deal with petitions that directed to NCOP, National Parliament. But an ideal scenario is when we will be in the endeavor producing the act, we will also look at synergy. How do we make sure that we are, you know, cooperating, we are all cooperating at one solid, you know, public representative of South Africa. I think that's where we'll get some input from, you know, across the tiers, local, because they will all be participating in that. We are not going to, that is going to be a worst typical example of what public participation is like. Because it should be a product of public participation. We should not be coming with something, sitting in this fog on a room and say, it's an end of public participation. It is going to be open, fully have, you know, provincial activities together with the local, you know, I'm sure when we will be planning it, we have to look at it at a broader level rather than, you know, a short time. It's one typical example. It will be followed if I were to say the next step after constitution of the Republic of South Africa. We need to make sure that the people of South Africa have said this is what we want in order to make sure that our grievances get, you know, spread across the board.
Obviously, using it a lot. Thanks for allowing me to speak, Chairperson. My question is slightly related to what Honorable Julia spoke about earlier on. I'm trying to understand the prioritization of the attention of the committee to the issues that come to the committee, as to how is it done. Is it by vote? Is it by the wishes of the chairperson or the wishes of the administration? There is something in education which they have stopped doing, which was called the LIFO, where when the school is over-enrolled, they will then look at the teachers. They called it LIFO because it was last in, first out. So the last one who came to the school, when the enrollment goes down, you become the first victim because you were the last one in the school. I'm trying to look into also the prioritization of the committee to make it something like first in, get the first attention, something like that, because I don't know how it works. But some kind of a formula on the prioritization, I think it should be important so that there is no issues of partisanship that are labeled into the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think earlier, as I remarked on it, to say, once we receive a petition, we will table it to the committee, and the committee will determine how do we then, you know, deal with it. However, in the process, the support staff, the research and the content advisor, will be doing the background work, you know, to give us a better sense of. If I were to take an example of the Mabitia problem, under a normal circumstance, Malusia Pofum should have been given preference immediately arriving, because it was saying people in winter have been removed from the houses and all this kind of thing. And it was supposed to be one of the things that obviously would then become back to say, let's quickly jump into this one and see which we cannot say. So those are some of the things that will influence how we prioritize things. Issues of human rights violations that are criminal, that are threatening one's life, will also inform, you know, if there are four on the arriving on the same day, and one is talking about a direct impact of saying, if you don't act, this particular children might not even write like that. We will prioritize that and make sure that we are trying to process it and then get the matter to be solved, in order to allow them to watch it like that. I'm sure it's very clear in that regard.
Chair question on that note, is there a possibility that in the list of 60 petitions that are still to be tabled, that we can perhaps get an indication which one of or which of those have, I mean, some of them are 2-3 years old. The issue might have either been resolved or disappeared, and we still sitting with the petition wondering what to do. Are there cases of that amongst those 60 that the petition has become so old that it's not applicable anymore, that they're not in need of our intervention at all? Is there a matter of that, and can we at some stage get an indication of how many of those have become superfluous?
Maybe we need to say that we work on them and unpack them and try to put them, you know, the way you would want them. But I guess that, because that might not need the attention of the committee.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'm proposing that we come up with our own approach in terms of dealing with petitions brought to us. Having had the previous
Honorable Julius said about it's happening in municipalities that when they classify petitions, they will choose not to deal with others. Classifying them as referred to other political parties. So in our handling of petitions, we must also find a way of letting the community out there to know that in parliament there is this institution that they can use. Because in the past, petitioning our in ANC, I know that when petitions come to us, we will say, no, this one is threatening the position of the council. I'm just giving an example to say we are not going to deal with this issue. But when our communities out there know that for them not to respond to marches and violent action, there is a system in parliament that they can access, that they can use to voice their issues out. That will also help the government to efficiently communicate with the community. I think that's what my thing.
Thank you very much. On a lighter note, of course.
Yeah, it was on a lighter note.
Sounds like you are corrupted ANC.
apply for secondary proposal, say, we allow these people to present the issues on the public manner, or should we consider the circumstances of the petition? I wanted to say, Chair, that will be demanded by the particular petition and even the condition of the particular petition. But the country side, of course, we sometimes do need private, so do need private. I think we won't just make a general all petitions will be in the post store.
I'm glad you have answered yourself, but we always have to apply our destination on the merit of every day. We cannot say we will, the normal way is South Africa is a transparent country. We play on an open card. But the leadership from time to time apply its mandate that this one has to be protected from the public.
Thank you, sir. It seems the agenda I'm grappling because it seems that the approach is a political approach. Political approach. Thank you.
No, but it's an unparalleled like we are saying.
Can you
because
there's a metaphor.
The member We have a background information of what we are saying now. So it's like now we don't whatever submissions that we have made for her is like we are saying. So I would suggest that she will do
it.
No, it's not what I have said.
No, no,
but it's fine. But it's what it does have a correction. I have never said she's misrepresenting me because he chose to represent myself or something. It's not what I said. Like, I just want to put that to record, Chairperson. I didn't say that. Listening is the skill. Thank you, sir. Regarding to the, I'm saying that. Yeah, I
On a point of order. And we need to respect each other. What Honorable Manopoly is saying saying that listening is a skill. I'm the one who was responding to what she was saying. So she must treat us with respect. On a very serious note.
Honorable members, I don't want to involve around into issues of but I wanted to achieve that whatever languages we are using, let be an acceptable language that the all we may speak our own, not the way we want to express ourselves, but let's try to be accommodative and not allow anyone to feel belittled or other way around. Can I receive that?
Thank you. I'm also appealing to you, sir, that also must protect me if, like, now you're giving me a chance to speak. Also, when I'm giving a platform to speak, protect me. So that I must not be protected. As when a member says that he wants to interject. We also need to respect each other. Thank you, sir. I want you to raise this issue that there's some of the things that you raised here. This is why I said I'm not sure what part of my agenda are we, because of the deliberation of the strat plan.
it's at number four. And some of the things that we have been discussing are there on the deliberation of the stress name. So that's where my challenge is, because I wanted to make contributions. So my fear is if I make contributions, they will be addressed at the point number four. But the problem is this, other issues have been taken out, now I've been deliberated. So I need an guidance from you today. Are we still following an agenda, or if we are just discussing the other issue just because of their linking in between the other items that
are there? Thank you. I think the issues are dealing with the internet. The presentations we have been receiving, they are related to one another, one way or another. They are talking to each other. Maybe what we may do now is to say, can we then also be favored with the strategic plan documents so that we also keep on where do we want to move from where we want to come from progress.
Thank you, Chair. My point, may I take your permission? You have a slight sketch master member on the board in the Monday. Thank you.
Thank you. The wind press will be lying out of including one of the board.
Legislative or provinces, that so we must aim for an act
as Honorable Mshanda said, that takes the best of everything. And I mean, Honorable Shumajana will know that I committed myself to coming up with the guidelines, you know, working with the various acts that take the best of everything. And I said to him, by the time you guys come from, well, members come back from briefing, that will be taken, as well as the concept paper for the petitions in Daba. That is where we're going to have all the provinces, all the resident stakeholders will come, and we can't start talking about having a national petition. So the groundwork he did when he was still chairperson of the NA committee, in terms of going around the various provinces to determine how they were faring in terms of, and I think there was a call, a general call, that they're waiting on Parliament to have a national petition. Mm-hmm. And as Honorable Shaka mentioned, it will be an act of Parliament. But what we're hoping is that the guidelines will feed into that act. As in, we'll know what works and what doesn't when it comes to actually the actual formulation or the drafting of the final act. I don't know if members are clear on that. So, but if you look at the first time, just to take you back on that one, the first priority for this financial year was that we onboard new members. Like what I try to do right now, I'm hoping that you'll take the time to read the documents because I went through them very fast. And it also talks about what happened with the NA committee. It talks about the Ambassador and how it had an effect on the NA committee. And I also try to explain that the NA committee considered special petitions, right, and also legislative proposals. So what's happened now is that we also have to consider petitions that are in the form of legislative proposals, just like the paternity leave petition. That one seeks to amend existing legislation. Yeah. So, and then we also have to consider special petitions now because that NA equivalent is now, I don't know where it went, or it's fallen away, or, but it wasn't considered in the first parliament. So, this established very good. So we are the be-all and end-all when it comes to petitions at this point. And I think what Honorable Michalaka said, you know, in Germany, for example, the Committee of Nature is a seismograph, so it's a barometer. It informs government how people are feeling about issues. And he's right, we have to be a bit more proactive. You know, I think it was Municipal IQ, any of you know Municipal IQ is this website that addresses municipalities. Every second day, I think in 2014, they said every second day we have a service delivery program. So maybe we should look at, if we know, for example, that there's a problem in a certain area, we should go there and say, submit a petition, instead of, you know, resorting to destructive and violent service delivery programs. And I think it's a blessing now that we have COPTA here, to be able to work hand in hand with COPTA in terms of going to those hotspots before things get out of hand, you know, as opposed to being always reactive. And that's the problem with the previous parliament. We've always been reactive. And so now it's time to be a little more proactive and go to those areas where we know that there's a problem. So it's, you know, but again, as Tender mentioned, now, you know, I think that two schools of thought. Do we travel, do we not travel? Do we always have to call? But it's not easy to call people. Because I'll give you an example. There's another petition, the Bosnian petition. When we went there, there were plus or minus people. 90 people that were affected by the petition. So it wasn't easy for us to get off. And you want to get a petition, you know, when you go and hear, you want to get a holistic view of what has brought this petition. You don't just want to get one side of the story or elected members of maybe a forum or whatever. You're going to get other issues that come up. So these are things that we should look into. In terms of the rules as well, we can address that. We give ourselves power to actually go out there and meet. And like I said, we even get petitions where people say, come and see how we're living. Mm. You know, and in that way you show people that, you know, if you're a partner to the people, you have to go to the people. In most cases, the people that I'm sure the majority of you represent cannot even afford to come here. Some of them have never seen what Parliament looks like and stuff. So it's important that, you know, I think members start being a little bit more proactive in terms of reaching out to people before things get out of hand and we have service delivery programs. So this, you know, I think what we should aim for is that this committee should be able to tell government that, look, this is how people are feeling. The fact that 40% of petitions in the fourth parliament were service delivery related shows that there's a problem around service delivery. And there's a general, you know, discontent with the provision of basic service. So things like that, it should be an indicator for some of the problems, as Honorable Michalaka pointed out, that, you know, people are experiencing. So I've said onboard new members, petitions, guidelines, and we should also think about processing similar petitions, like service delivery. We have to come up with new mechanisms around how do we process these petitions. And so even, for example, now, it's a given that when we get a petition that seeks to amend or introduce legislation, right? now we must refer to a relevant committee. So that's so we know that that's one sort of cluster of petitions that we can put up. But how are we going to deal with seven signature petitions? There must be a way that we can deal with them without having to isolate them all the time. For example, in the previous parliament, 40% right was service delivery, the majority of which emanated from where the Eastern Cape. That says something. So maybe we can go there on oversight and try and deal with all of them, maybe take them from that province, emanating from that province, and try and address. You know, these are just suggestions. Look, I'm just throwing things on the table here. I'm not saying this is how we should go about it. And then, of course, another priority was the clearing of the fourth parliament backlog and the processing of media petitions. I think what Honorable Kavadzali has done well is in terms of trying to address those petitions that are in the media, because they're getting a lot of media attention, like the presidency petition, like the Bukamoso village petition. And those, and the Bukamoso one is very urgent because it's around the eviction of plus or minus 800 families. Usually, the children are not going to school. They've been housed in town hall. Some of them, you know, they're saying that they're not eating well. You know, they don't have access to anything, basically, you know, other than what is given to them. So they feel like they're at the mercy. And then, of course, and then I ask myself, being a lawyer, what about curriculum? We talked about, before you can evict, make sure that, you know, vulnerable groups like women and children are protected, you know. So we will go there and see whether, you know, that was taken into consideration. Why weren't they given alternative housing, for example, before they were evicted? Why were they evicted? So, you know, things like that. So, I'm not saying this is the way to go. I'm just giving, clarity around that. And then the National Petition Act in Daba, the concept paper for that is there in draft form, because Honorable Sabajani, as I indicated, worked on that drive to have a National Petition Act in the previous parliament. So the concept paper is there, it will be ready for members when you come back. So it will be the concept paper for the petitions in Daba, as well as the guidelines. And the guidelines, as indicated, will take, you know, the best from each province and try and come up. And then I think the proposal that we then sit down, look at the draft, those draft guidelines, and then see where we need to improve, what we can take out, etc. You know, what happened during that time. Thank you.
Anything on the front?
Thank you, Chair. I think we should also, it's a very, very good approach. Give us time to also reflect on it and also come up with a suggestion at the later stage. But I just think that, you know, the synergy, we should also work with the synergy. I know we made that in Kaaba, but we should also think, you know, the synergy between all the three spheres of government. Because some of these petitions, like Honorable Halaki said, maybe some of them are, you know, resolved or the problem went away, you know. Others might be submitted to province and municipalities and to NPOP or national, you know. So we need to look at those things because I would think that people will not only send it, they will go to their first point of service delivery, they will go to municipality. They will march or something and give a petition or something, you know, how we done things on the ground or how we are doing things on the ground. And they will give it there. If they see 3 months gone by without any satisfaction, they'll say it here. So we must have built into that some sort of oversight role. But we don't only go to communities, we must go be able to go to provinces and municipalities to see how many petitions were handled, how many petitions were dealt with, even if we give them petitions to deal with, if it's a provincial competency, we should be able to go and see afterwards what is actually happening, because we can do our work. Ooh, 400 petitions done, good, we've forwarded it to the relevant municipalities or provinces. And if we don't follow up on them, you see, you know, we are losing the battle. You know. But I want to commend you on this very good the hard work. Just need to we need to more strongly filter into it the role of these spheres of government and how we interact.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, I think this is fantastic. It's clear. It's fantastically set up. That woman is gold. If she drew this up. What I want to ask you is, are we going to commit to some or other form of date for these now? Or at what stage are we going to, for this strat plan, because it says here 2014-2015 targets and the different things we have to do. When are we going to commit to specific dates? I think, well, the onboard of members has already been done today. Petition guidelines, you said, will be ready when we get back from the three-week recess. So are we going to, today, more or less, commit to certain dates for certain of these things so we know by when what will happen so we can just be properly on the board?
And I did, like I said, to you, present that with them. When you sent in an open meeting like this, can you present on a date? It's not easy. So it's something that must be presented and then agreed or amended and all. So I think I'll suggest that let's take it back to the management to put data in the next meeting.
When is our next meeting?
I'm sure you'll see it in the
program. Thank you.
I'm covered because I wanted to say when are we going to with regards to the date. But what I'm like to make a follow up on what you guys see. Remember the first we made a appeal to the chief whip to fast track the rules process of the undertaking. Just want to find out how far is the process, are we getting any joy? So that this meeting can say we know it and then in the minister's report can be able to take it forward again. Thank you.
When I often made mention that that's how we can return to the rules committee to amend the rules, nothing has been done. Despite that, it was discussed in a strategic plan of anything. We did, you know, from our side, what we are including, you know, expected of us. We wrote them to say, can you? Any other? Thank you. Can we then move forward? Before we go to this one, we must first deal with the standard one before coming to the program. Can we get the program?
Yes.
So,
all
members
have the program.
We will any omitted because it's certain available for us.
The program before you is based on the three committees which are sharing the notice. What I'm trying to say is that the work consultation at the University of Political, the first meeting that the committee is discussing, in fact, it's not a meeting, it will be an oversight week. During the oversight week, both COPSA and the committee will be meeting with the Better Research Committee on the issues and the regular activities. Should this program be adopted as such, in case it ends. Those are the dates that I have expected there. On the second column, you have the Wednesday, the 27th. If the 8 days to 10 slots is available, because it might change, because they, sometimes the power that we say, because of programming committee meetings, moving to, like it happened today when the House is not speaking, we will be considering the petitions that are there. Bearing in mind that the petitions that are there are petitions that were scheduled on the second term, and therefore we have to move them this way without considering the issue of private organization, but asking how the venue is still going to be concerned. On the third, from the fifth to the seventh, it is indicated that the three committees will again conduct an oversight where they will be in counting. Normally, what will happen is that if the petition committee will not be really having anything during the day. We will be able to invite petitioners to come to the hotel in the day, and then the three members come back at around 3 o'clock. Then we will go through with all the petitioners at that specific time. Alternatively, or at the same time, there can be a division of dates where petition committee will meet one day, the second the COCTA and the committee on the other day. So it will depend on the decision by management of the great commission in consultation with the members. If we move over to the 12th of November, the same situation on the time, that will be where we'll be considering the outcome of the campaign for the time street, and also the continuation of consideration of the same petition, depending on what will have transpired at the time, including the new petition, my colleague indicated the media related ones, and all the other pertinent and very urgent ones. From the 14th to the 23rd, it is the wish of the committee, and it has been resolved that the committee, the three of them, should jointly go to India. Specifically, I'm mentioning India because the preparation to deal with the matter of the state like this, we cannot handle Zambia and India at the same time in that short space of time. Where we are now is that we are dealing with the National Department of International Relations. What they have done so far is to give us a briefing for countries, both countries, which is already available, will be also distributed to our members in this talk. And again, what we have also discovered is that unless they give us a firm date, it is difficult also to move from our side to make that move. However, this program has been submitted, and the chairperson has signed, and the officer has signed, and it's now sitting in front of the office of the city. We are hoping that by early of this week, or quite soon, we'll be hearing the outcome of the endorsement of the program. So as to the difficulties around how the delegation is going to look like, the chairperson will handle that, and I'm sure saying that the main idea here is to go and learn about the creative undertaking all honorable members are supposedly set to be going. Now the last meeting will then be on the 26th of November for this particular term, in which we will be tabling and adopting the program for the following year. That is in line with the first plan. And again, we will be adopting minutes. Hopefully by then, it will also be considering, the committee will also be considering just an overview of what transpired during the trip. I do know that administratively we must not be done by then, but at least there will be that short space of availability of that from the report. Thank you, sir. That is how far we can go.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we perhaps put in this program when we will see the first draft of our rules? Because that is not included, and I think we need to work on it. You know, we should get the first draft before the end of this year. If you will know what work it will take, I mean the officials will know how long they need, but my suggestion is just before the end of the year, we can put in a date, couple it with a meeting here, and then we can just wait, because if you don't put it in here, I think we're planning the same.
I think that will be looked into as to when do we
then. Yes, Chairperson, because we'll be considering petitions without rules or on the 29th of October.
Now what will we be doing at that time? Will we be guided by this changing from petitions? By now guided by them. However, we want also to come up with an enabling tool that make us work that the tool will be for.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm happy to see that we have quite a bit of things to get over the next few months. The reason why I'm saying it, and I'm seriously straight with it, I understand the necessity and I agree with it for us going to India. That is not to be doubted. However, if we do not stick to this work that we commit ourselves to in the next month, up to the stage where we go to India, if we don't commit to this and we don't do this according to the program, in other words, if we don't stick to the program, and nothing happens for the next month, and in November we get on an aeroplane and go to India, the entire country is going to change. But since the parliament started, until now, nothing has happened. Now you get on an aeroplane to India. Let me just explain the reasoning behind it. So we need to stick to it.
We are presenting to you a program.
Yes.
Which we are saying, do we adopt it? And adoption means, whether I'm there or not there, the problem becomes the problem of the concern.
So
what is that now it makes you to touch, as if there's no problem? We are presenting a program.
So,
what is the position of members? Are you comfortable?
Yes.
Do you want to amend it? What is that you want?
Chairperson,
let's not, you know, a hammer on things that are not
working. Chairperson, I'm getting to that point. If you would allow me the opportunity to get to my... I'm honestly saying that if we adopt this program, we need to stick to it. And we need to do what we say we're going to do in this program. In other words, if we say in week one we're going to do X, Y, and Z, we need to do X, Y, and Z. Because if we don't do it, and nothing happens for the next 3 weeks, and we then get on an airplane to India, it's going to look as if we're one glorified holiday.
Yeah. any amendment on the phone program?
Yes, I would not, mine is not amendment. Mine says I do look for the adoption of this program.
Any support?
I would like to.
Any objection for the adoption of this program?
No, but I would like my concerns noted.
No, I'm saying objection. You have raised your concern. Everybody likes it. Any objection for the adoption?
I just want to know that I'm making a thing that I had a note, but this note cannot be just left. We cannot preempt the program. If you say why we have to think that we want to preempt that there will be failure, so it means that we're not committing ourselves that we want to implement this program. I'm just making a thing, let us not make preempt. All of us should commit to ensure that we implement as a collective, not yourself as a chairperson. Because it's not your program, it's our program.
Chairperson, I think the scrambles are all about what happened, already happened, you know, in the past month.
Have you had a program and it's failed?
This is our first meeting.
Then what are you talking about? Because we are presenting.
Yeah, but later.
We are back. Adopted the
program.
Can we move forward?
Very late.
No. On our NCOP week. Are we this will be doing over 70? Are we going to space for our formal
this program is saying this what we have put here, the 1 and 2. It's what the petition and executive undertaking. In that way we said in the shared responsibility of the two committees, this is the area that ourselves were saying we are going to go. In that shared responsibility. The two my colleagues, the chair of CBT and then the Hoxer, they will also say they themselves, the chair will be on one. We should, you know. The three should have that chair.
Thank you, Dr. Sir. Just a question of clarity, two. The first one is on 5 to 7 November. 5 to 7 November, the last block. There is likely to be a sitting on the 6th of November.
On the 6th?
Yes. And where the president is proposed to be addressing the NCOC. I'm not sure that the committee can be allowed not to be in the house on this thing. Something that is still being mooted. The second one is the first block, where it talks about Ward 57 KZN. There is no Ward 57 in KZN. There should be a Ward 57 in a municipality in KZN. Can I get No, it's not. What municipality is that?
Having adopted the program, I think we should now talk to give his point. I think what Honorable I think we can, myself and him, as the weapons, can talk to, because this matter, remember we said we need a debate with the president, and we need a question. So this program that we are having, an NCOC program, somehow this will change in terms of allowing the president to come to the house. Let's, on, in our weapon meeting, suggest that we start a meeting.
Of course, this is the problem of the committee, which will also be subjected by the authority of the obviously, they cannot authorize it. But for now, we are taking the evidence that is our duty. I'm sure if you look at the problem, obviously, you will already just require indirectly. The fact is, we are not sent to the committee on the.
I think you must seriously lobby the chief whip to give you another woman to dilute the two.
The secretary should at this specific say there are things that are needed. So now it's not specific with what things. But I saw on the list, I think it's taking out the passport and other things. So,
I again, we wonder. There is a member of parliament who doesn't have a
No, we don't know.
So can I advise? Can you
When you are in the parliament, your application for passport
will be done as an official passport, not ordinary passport. So you have to apply for an official passport.
But I think they arranged
that.
They arranged
that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thank you.